Hello, everyone. I'm Sierra.
And I'm Ashley.
And this is your weekly dose of wicked.
Welcome to your weekly dose of wicked on Wednesday. Yeah, shabam. I would like to apologize in advance because apparently, according to my sister, doing my nails is making too much noise on the podcast.
Well, it is pretty noisy.
I'm not making any noise at all.
Along with your kids yelling outside my window.
Okay, the kids yelling outside, we can't control that. They're children, you know.
We can. Tell them to go next door.
We cannot control that because, you know what? I'm a mother first, and they're doing nothing wrong. They're just playing outside.
And being loud.
They're playing outside. They're children, Ashley.
Okay, well, they're being loud.
If anyone takes offense to my children playing outside, find a new podcast.
I'm just saying. All right, well, there's going to be a lot of background noise. You doing your nails.
My nails are making no noise. Ashley,
at the moment.
My nails are being so loud. They're not making any noise at all. I'm literally, okay, I have a new obsession for anyone who cares, even though I'm sure you don't. Your cup makes more noise than my nails. And I edit it out every week. You and your icy metal cup.
There's no ice in there today.
Doesn't matter. Still makes noise with your clanky metal straw. So anyway, I have a new obsession. For those of you that know, I feel like I've talked about it on the podcast before. I have been a firm believer in Kiss Impress press-on nails. I've used them for years. I love them. I think they're fantastic. They last super long. Big fan. Not sponsored in any way. It's just a product that I truly enjoy. Recently, I have grown my nails long enough that I don't need them, which is a huge accomplishment for me.
It is.
Because my nails have never in my life been this long because I bite them. Which is why I use the Kiss Impress press-on nails, because you can't bite them. They're too hard. So anyway, in a way to keep from biting my nails, I've discovered a new product called Dashing Diva Gloss Ultra Shine Gel. And they're like stickers.
Dashing Diva Gloss.
They are. That's what they're called. Dashing Diva Gloss Ultra Shine Gel.
Okay.
So what I do with those is, it's like a plasticky sticker. And you put them on your nail, you apply them, you file the tips off, and they last for like 2 weeks. And they're fantastic.
That's true.
So anyway, I just thought I'd apply some stickers to my nails. Well, Ashley told me, you know, a story about murder. And I thought I'd have a good time. But Miss Negative Nancy over here, harsh in my damn mellow, won't let me.
You were just being a little loud.
I was not
being loud. With the nail file. Yeah, you were.
The nail file was fine.
Okay, right now it's fine.
Yeah, it is fine.
Because you're nail filing the gloss.
Exactly. I just had to shape my nails up real quick. She's just being moody because she's pregnant.
I am. I'm having a really emotional day.
She really is, so.
You wouldn't even know. You haven't even talked to me today.
Ashley, I have not felt well.
Okay, well, I'm just saying. You want to know.
I can tell. I can immediately tell the moment I saw you.
Okay.
That you were not having a good day. You were very grumpy. And I, too, am grumpy because I do not feel well because I need, are any of our listeners gastrointestinal surgeons?
We need one pro bono.
I need a pro bono surgeon to perform a colonoscopy and cut my intestines out. That's what I need right now. So if you know anyone.
I don't think surgeons do colonoscopies, do they?
No. So they probably have a friend.
Okay. So if you're a fan.
If you're a fan and you would like my intestines
and your GI,
be
better, help a girl out.
Yes, please. I need a pro bono gastrointestinal specialist to do a colonoscopy. I don't even need the colonoscopy. I know where the disease is. Just go in there and
I'll
cut it out.
I'll tell you
where it is. Go in there and cut it out so I can go have them flare ups every 2 months because I'm real sick and tired of it. So anyway, enough about us and our miserable lives.
Okay.
Do you have anything exciting going on in our lives?
No.
No? That's kind of sad.
Oh, we have miserable lives, we just said.
I mean, I feel like there's got to be something good going on. Ashley has a doctor's appointment tomorrow.
That I do.
Where she will find out the gender of the baby, even though we already did a blood test and we already know, but
confirm
Ashley's
it.
An overthinker, so she wants to confirm it. She wants to see the genitalia.
You never know.
On the screen.
Could be wrong.
I mean, I guess it could be, but probably not.
Well, you never know.
So that being said, next week, I guess we'll let you guys know if Ashley's cool with that. And then also next week will be our 100th episode.
Pretty crazy.
Of Weekly Dose of Wicked. Also, completely off topic, and you guys are probably sick and tired of hearing about it, but we need a Rodecaster Pro too. So if you have not done so already, join the Patreon, all right? It's shit. We're not going to lie and act like it's all rainbows over there, because it's not. But your financial
contribution
will make a huge difference in the podcast, because this Scarlett that we purchased
is trash.
It's trash, having a lot of issues. We haven't even had it. I mean, I had it a year.
No.
No?
6 months.
Yeah? When did we buy it?
It was after I moved into this house, right?
Well, you've lived in this house longer than 6 months.
Well, not a year.
It was definitely after you moved into this house, but I don't remember exactly when we bought it.
Well, I have actually almost lived here a year.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's been about a year.
Hmm. Interesting.
We've had about a year, but it's got all kinds of issues. It's like crackling, and I don't know. I just feel like it's going to die, and the podcast will be no more.
Yeah, that would be bad.
So, if you haven't done so already, head on over to www.patreon.com/weeklydoseofwicked, where you can join one of our four tiers. They start at just $3 a month. If we could just get like 100 of you
that would
to
be
sign
awesome.
Up at the $3 level, then we can buy a Rodecaster Pro 2. Because we're, I mean, a third of the way there.
Or 10 of you to sign up for $10.
Yeah, or 10 of you to sign up for $10.
That's a little more realistic, I think.
Well, I didn't want to, like, just tell them to sign up for 10. But. Or 20 of you to sign up for 50, for 5.
For 50?
For 50, for 5. Mm-hmm. Or if you don't want to sign up, that's cool, too. You can go ahead and head on over to buymeacoffee.com.
That is true.
/WDOW, right?
I think so.
I don't know. It's in our link tree. Head on over to the link tree.
Yeah, and we'll try to be better about our Patreon, but, you know, life's hard.
Life is hard. And I do have some things in the works for Patreon, actually. So, just saying. All right, Ashley, what do you have prepared for us today? Anything good? Oh, you know what else you could do? You could just listen to the podcast on repeat. Because every time you guys listen and you listen to an ad, we get money for that.
Yeah.
Just fall asleep with Weekly Dose of Wicked playing.
On replay.
On replay.
Yeah. Listen to it like 100 times a day.
Yeah. And then maybe we could get some money from our ads. Because, I mean, we do get money from our ads, but...
Not much. But
no,
some.
Not much, but some. You could increase that amount if you would just listen on repeat.
Yeah, that'd be cool, too.
That would be awesome.
Or tell your friends.
Yeah, or tell your friends about Weekly Dose of Wicked.
And
that would be cool, too.
Have them listen on repeat.
We actually have had an influx in listeners, though, because we've had quite a few people just randomly follow us on Instagram.
Yeah, it's true.
So, oh, we had some guy? I don't know. Why don't you guys find this? As the cool investigators that you are. We got a message on Instagram last week after I asked about how they found us. And this listener said that they found us in an article about the best true crime podcast of 2023. Doesn't remember the publisher, but they were getting love out there. I would like to see the article.
Me too.
So if you can find it.
Yeah, send it our way.
That'd be cool.
So you can boost our egos.
Make our heads bigger than they already are. All right. Anyway, without further ado, Ashley, go ahead. What'd you prepare today? Is it any good? Is it any count?
I think so. You've probably heard it before, but I'd never heard it before until today. When I started my research,
well, I am a
or yesterday when I started my research,
higher crime person than you.
Yeah.
Ooh, speaking of, I know we're just like getting into. I just keep going off. Have you been following the baby
that was left
left
in the car?
For 10 days?
Not in
the
car, in the crib
for 10 days.
I have not, but I've heard about it. And
why have you not
crazy.
Been following it? Because your emotional state of being pregnant?
No, I just haven't really looked into it.
I mean, it's really not crazy. It's absolutely disgusting.
I mean,
absolutely horrendous.
Yeah, she like went. I mean, so I like one of my coworkers was talking about it, and then I like saw something on like TikTok about it, but I don't know. That's the only two places I've seen it, so I just haven't. But yeah, I mean, it is crazy that someone did that. I mean, also disgusting, but crazy.
I think it's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
Absolutely horrendous.
Yeah, I don't know how you could leave your baby in a crib and take a vacation.
Yeah, either do I.
Pretty insane.
But what I wanted to talk about, I don't know, I'm sure all of you have probably been following it more closely than Ashley. When she was on the stand the other day, she said her baby and God forgive her. And I really just wanted to reach through and just like choke her.
Oh, yeah.
Like, don't you even speak about your baby.
Yeah.
Absolutely disgusting. I've been heavily watching it because... it blows my mind.
Yeah, no. It's really gross and sad. I don't want to watch it.
I mean, it is gross and sad, but I still would like to know what's going on with her because I don't know what her punishment's going to be. I'm pretty sure it's life.
I mean, it should be.
Yeah, 100% it should be. But anyway, okay, back on track. I'm sorry. I just wanted to know if you'd been following it because we haven't really talked in like 2 days.
Yeah, that's true.
My fault. It's all my fault. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Today is about Frank Hilly. Do you know him?
Not by the name, but once you start talking, I might.
Okay. Frank and Marie Hilly were high school sweethearts. They had that typical young love that developed fast and hard. After high school, Frank enlisted in the U.S. Navy, and the two continued their relationships long distance, communicating by writing letters to each other. The two married in 1950 and settled in Anniston, Alabama. They worked together at a foundry. A foundry is a factory that makes metal casings.
Cool.
Frank worked in the shipping department, and Marie was a secretary. They started a family and welcomed their son Mike and daughter Carol into their family. They seemed to be picture-perfect and happy. That is until 1975, when Frank started to suffer from a mysterious illness.
He was poisoned?
No.
Oh, okay.
The main symptoms were headaches, nausea, vomiting, fever, and abdominal pain.
You sure he wasn't poisoned?
The doctors don't think so.
Okay, but that seems like poisoning to me. And also, any kind of mysterious illness?
I don't know.
I say that, but like, I have Crohn's disease. Like, that's a mysterious illness.
And it's that's all years, of the symptoms you have.
You took years to diagnose.
Headaches, nausea, vomiting, fevers, abdominal pain. That's
yeah,
you.
It doesn't give me headaches, but yeah.
Well, you have headaches all the time.
I mean, yeah, but they're not from Crohn's. They're from
your
children.
Coke Zero addiction.
I don't agree.
Okay.
I think that my Coke Zero, it's not an addiction.
I think it's that you quit anytime. No, you can't. It's because you drink too much Coke Zero, you don't drink any water, and you don't sleep. I think that's where your headaches come from.
Probably, but I do drink water. I drink water, ma'am. Don't be talking shit like that about me. I drink water.
Okay.
Do I drink enough water? Probably not, but I do.
Okay.
I wait until my body is like, it doesn't happen to you because you drink enough water. But like sometimes you just get so thirsty that like, I don't know, you have to like get up in the middle of the night and just down water. And I do that quite regularly.
No, I do that all the time.
So I do drink water.
But,
and I'll just drink like three. I'll just freaking
being
turn the
thirsty is the first sign of dehydration.
Yeah, I am dehydrated. You're already all the time. Dehydrated. I am a dehydrated person.
Okay, anyways.
It's my identity.
Anyways. The doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong with Frank, and none of the medicines they prescribed him were working. He just got sicker and sicker. Marie became Frank's full-time caregiver over the next couple of years, but nothing seemed to help him.
Poor Frankie.
In 1975, he was admitted into the hospital after a bout of delirium. The test showed that he was in liver failure, and Frank was diagnosed with infectious hepatitis.
Ew, that's a turn quickly. Like, what?
Yes. So, on May 25th of 1975, Frank Hilly passed away. The family received a life insurance check of $31,000. Adjusted for inflation, that's about $179,000.
So, this is some sort of an insurance scam. Gotcha.
He has hepatitis, Sierra.
Okay.
How does that have anything to do with insurance scam?
Well, because you said they got an insurance payout.
Well, I'm just saying that's how
and
the family survived.
And this is a murder case, so I'm assuming somebody gave him hepatitis intentionally.
Okay.
Isn't that how hepatitis works? You know?
I don't know that you can just give people hepatitis.
I feel like you can. I feel like if you just picked up one of those needles you find at the park all the time.
Yeah.
And inject them, hepatitis.
I've never found a needle at a park.
There was just a post in our local mom's group about Liberty Park, I think.
Oh, don't know.
It's either Liberty or Hope Park. What's the one called over? The wooden one, the one I hate.
I don't know.
The super wooden one.
I don't know.
Maybe it was that one. It was literally just in the group, though. I saw it about needles and how we need to be careful with our... It was the one with the wood because it was like in one of the playhouses. So it had been like hanging out in the playhouses shooting up. So... Okay, well, pass your judgy eyes on other people. Our area has needles at their parks, too.
I'm just saying me personally, but I also
don't
go
to the
parks.
You don't have children, except for the one in your womb. Actually, how often do you go to the park with me?
I used to go more.
Okay.
Okay, anyways, it doesn't matter. The whole point of the insurance was that that's what she's living off of until she goes back to work as a secretary.
Understood. So she didn't poison him. Okay. She didn't give him hepatitis intentionally. Heard.
At the time, Mike... their son is in his early 20s and he's not living at home. Carol is in high school and is still at home. Carol and Marie didn't really get along. Frank was always the peacekeeper of the two, and without him, they fought constantly. Marie was a nice Southern belle who believed that women should be poised and dressed in their best at all times. Carol was not. She was a tomboy.
Okay.
And she could never live up to her mother's expectations.
I feel that.
They spent the next couple of years cohabitating. In 1979, Carol, who had now graduated, was still living at home while starting college classes. She started to experience similar symptoms to what her father had experienced years prior.
She was being poisoned too. I have heard this.
Yeah?
I think so. Continue.
She went to the doctors and they found nothing wrong with her. They gave her some anti-nausea medicine and antibiotics and sent her home. Carol's symptoms continued for months and she continued to try to get medical help, but the doctors still couldn't find anything wrong. So they ended up sending her for a psych evaluation, thinking maybe it was stress or emotions causing the symptoms. And again, Carol was sent home. Carol continued getting sicker and sicker. She began having numbness in her feet and legs and began having trouble walking. She went to another hospital for a second opinion and they admitted her for further testing. The doctor came in and noticed that she had these weird lines on her fingernails, which was a telltale sign of metal poisoning.
Huh, what do you know?
So they began running tests, and it came back that Carol had 100 times the normal amount of arsenic in her system.
Huh, what do you know? It's almost like she's being poisoned.
Maybe.
Like I said from the beginning.
While Carol is in the hospital, the police show up with a warrant to arrest Marie for writing bad checks.
That's random, but okay.
Right. Marie tells her daughter, you know, this is a mistake. She'll be back soon. Was not a mistake.
She's in fact not back soon.
She was not back soon. Turns out that Marie had been in financial trouble for years. She was a spender, dressed to the nines, and loved to give her friends and family lavish gifts. But the income that she made did not support this lifestyle.
Well, what was she doing for work?
A secretary.
Okay.
And living off the life insurance.
I knew she was living off life insurance. I just missed the secretary part.
Yes, that's how she was initially secretary. She became his full-time caregiver, then she went back as secretary.
I remember that now. I remember her being his full-time caregiver. I just missed the secretary part. And I mean, yeah, also you said this was, what, the 70s?
Yeah.
So I'm sure the secretary was making like $2 an hour.
I don't know.
No?
It seemed to be like a very good job for a woman.
Very good job for a woman, as in like they can't do anything more than be a secretary, actually? I mean.
No, like women didn't work back then.
Okay, that doesn't mean they made good money.
I don't know that they make a
What's
money,
that but... show, though? Oh, The Marvelous Miss Maisel? Don't they go to, like, secretary school?
I've never watched it, but
You've
probably.
Never watched The Marvelous Miss Maisel?
No, but I think that this lady went to a secretary school.
That was, like, a thing in that time frame, I think. I feel like The Marvelous Miss Maisel was even earlier than the 70s. I feel like it was, like, I don't know. I can't believe you've never watched The Marvelous Miss Maisel.
I don't even know what that is.
It's hysterical. Oh my God, Ashley. As comedians, you should be watching that.
As comedians.
We are comedians. So
what is it on?
Amazon Prime, I think.
I thought it was like a kid show.
The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is not a children's show, ma'am.
What's the one about the ladybug?
The Miraculous Ladybug?
Okay. Well, that's what I thought you were talking
about. Not the same. Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. It's fantastic.
The average salary of a secretary in 1970 was $41,000.
I thought you were looking up The Marvelous Miss Maisel. I don't give a shit about the secretary salary.
They made $12 an hour. That's pretty good for the 70s,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it's good for the 70s. You don't even make that now as a secretary.
It says $12.52 an hour for a receptionist and $17.97 for a bookkeeper.
Yeah, I didn't make that when I was a secretary. This is good money. I think when I was a secretary, I made about $10 an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Why are you laughing?
Because you were a secretary for dad.
I wasn't. That doesn't count. I wasn't a secretary for dad. I was the assistant to Sylvia, his secretary. I was talking about when I worked my work study for college. I was secretary.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I was a secretary for my work study program for college.
I forgot about that.
And I answered the phones and filed papers and cleaned the computer labs. And I think I made like 10 or 11 bucks an hour.
Yeah, I remember that now.
And that was like one of the highest paid work studies they had. Which is sad.
Yeah, that is sad.
Yes, no. I wasn't talking about for dad. I mean, yes, I did do office work for dad, but I wasn't a secretary.
That's what I thought you were talking
about. No, I was talking about my actual job as a secretary for the college.
Okay, well, I'll look into Marvelous Miss Maisel.
Marvelous Miss Maisel. I can't believe you haven't looked into it yet. It's set in the 1950s. It's freaking phenomenal. If any of you have not watched The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, it's hysterical. Like, it's literally so freaking funny.
With all of my free time,
it's about a housewife whose husband is cheating on her immediately, like at the very get-go. He's a comedian, and she's so supportive. She makes him roast, and she goes to all of his comedy shows, like open mic nights for comedy. And then homeboy tells her he's been cheating on her for months, and he leaves her to go move in with the secretary. And then she decides to get drunk, and then turns out she's fucking hysterical, and she becomes a comedian. And, like, a famous comedian.
I think you've told me about this show
before. I did, and it's so good. It's so funny.
Okay, well, my bad. I'll watch it, maybe.
She's hilarious. She gets arrested numerous times, because, like, in the 50s, you weren't allowed to, like, swear in public. And
fuck that.
Also, women weren't supposed to be comedians. So, we never would have survived, because...
No.
We're too funny. All right.
We're too funny and we cuss too much.
Ooh, true that. But, yeah, she gets arrested numerous times. That's a really good show, though. I can't believe you didn't watch it at all. I told you about it months ago. I thought it was so funny. I just assumed you watched it when I told you to.
I think you did tell me about it, but...
I did, and I just assumed you watched it. You're supposed to do the things I tell you to do.
I don't.
You read the book I told you to read?
I did.
Did you finish?
No.
Okay. All right, back to your case.
I wanted to finish it today, but I had to...
Oh, darn. Had to record the podcast.
Had to, like, go to my actual job and then do my second job.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'll be all right. What do you think?
I can't see from here. Sparkles, that's all I see.
My nails look phenomenal.
Nails are still done from whenever this was.
I peeled mine off. I don't like them.
Why?
I still like that color.
I like it.
All right, back to the case.
It looks like a mermaid.
No, I don't like it. Back to the case.
Okay, anyways. So she was in credit card debt. She had a lot of personal loans through multiple different banks. She blew through that life insurance money she got. And these habits have been going on for a very long time, since before Frank's death. The family was in financial ruin when he had died. But Marie had kept their lavish lifestyle and hid their money problems very well, so no one knew.
Huh.
With the news spreading, Frank's family started coming forward that they always had a bad feeling about Marie, maybe having something to do with Frank's death.
I felt that way as soon as I heard.
I know you did. And some of them even said that they had seen her giving him injections. And when they questioned her about it, she kind of, like, came up with excuses and, like, blew him off. And then... the things that she told, like, didn't match what she told other people.
Okay.
They asked Carol if Marie was doing the same thing to her. And at first she denied it, but then she did end up admitting that her mom was giving her medication by injection. But it was from her mom's friend that was supposed to help with nausea. And she wasn't supposed to say anything because then this friend was a nurse and she could get in trouble.
Right.
So the family took this to the police. They now suspected that Marie was injecting arsenic into her daughter, and she had been doing the same thing to Frank.
I'd say that's probably a pretty good chance that that's what was occurring, and I think I called that from the beginning.
I think you did as well, but you've also heard this before, so.
I didn't know that when I called it, though.
Okay. So the police petitioned to exhume the body of Frank. After 4 years, Frank Hilly's body is barely decomposed at all.
Oh, good. My face, you could tell that I was not ready for that. I was very concerned.
So actually, arsenic is a preservative. So he had so much arsenic in his system that his body wasn't even decomposed at all.
Okay.
So thankfully, their testing, they completed testing on him, and he had arsenic in him. So that was that. It was her. But they did need a little more evidence. So they started digging. And they found that right before Carol's symptoms had started, Marie took out a life insurance policy on her daughter. They also found in Marie's house a vial of liquid arsenic, a box of rat poisoning in her basement, and a small container of arsenic in her pantry with the food. There had also been numerous police reports from the last several years of attempted arson on her house, numerous stalking and harassment reports. And multiple police came forward to say that when they had responded to these reports, they would come into Marie's home. You know, she would be a good little housewife. She would offer him some coffee or tea. And after they left, they suddenly started feeling ill. But none of them put together that she was poisoning them.
She was, like, willy-nilly poisoning everybody.
Yeah, she was just poisoning everybody.
Okay.
So charges were filed against Marie for the murder of her husband and attempted murder of her daughter.
Okay.
And now it's your favorite time. Time for an ad.
Do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Yeah.
All right, so charges were filed against Marie, but unfortunately, she is gone. She was initially arrested on those fraud charges, and her lawyer got her out on bail, and he left her to stay in a hotel room until her hearing. But when he went to talk to her the day before the hearing, the hotel room was empty. No Marie, but it was in a shambles with her stuff all around, and there was a note that implied that someone had kidnapped her. Immediately, he brought this to the police, and they discovered that this note was actually her own handwriting.
I was going to say, who's kidnapping a woman that's willy-nilly poisoning people? Because I surely ain't.
No, but this lady is, like, very, like, charming and, like, manipulative. So, I mean, a lot of people probably don't think she did it.
Okay. They could have. I mean, I don't see who else could have done it, but okay.
But they believe the note is hers.
Right.
Okay. It turns out that she stole her aunt and uncle's car to ditch town.
Okay.
And it was later discovered abandoned in Georgia. Marie would not be seen or heard from again until 1982.
What?
Yeah. A long time.
Legit just like fucking disappeared?
Yeah.
What about her poor daughter who was in the hospital being poisoned?
I mean, she's no longer being poisoned, so now she's doing better.
Okay.
She actually has like no lasting effects from the arsenic poisoning. Like she like recovered completely.
Well, thank God for that.
Yeah. She finished her college. Like, she's doing really well.
Okay.
So, in 1982, a report comes into the police station in New Hampshire about a woman falsifying her identity. These people say that they had a coworker named Robbie Hannon, who had gone away to Texas to undergo an experimental treatment for her rare blood disease she has.
Okay.
She was there for a few months, but unfortunately the treatment did not work and she ended up passing away.
Oh, that's sad.
Her twin sister, whose name was Terry Martin, then came into town because of her sister's request to take care of her husband, John Hannon, and tie up her loose ends.
Okay.
So, Terry, obviously, they're twins. She looks very similar to her sister, Robbie, except she has blonde hair and she's about 20 pounds thinner. She and John ended up getting along well and the two bond over their grief of Robbie. So John invites Terry to permanently move in with him.
Okay.
Some reports say they began dating. Others say it's a platonic relationship, so I'm not sure what it is. Okay. But either way, they live together. So John's friends and family find this whole situation super weird.
As would I.
And they try to talk to John about it. And they feel like Terry might actually be Robbie. And he's like, yeah, no, you guys are crazy. This is her twin sister. I hear them talk on the phone. They write letters to each other. And they're like, yeah, but you never met her before. And he's like, well, no, she lived in Texas and we lived in New Hampshire. That's far away. So he thinks nothing of it. They're just crazy.
You said Terry might be the twin sister. Who?
Robbie.
Okay. Continue.
Are you confused?
I am, but it's fine. Continue.
Okay.
I thought the one poisoning people was Mary.
Marie.
Marie.
She's gone.
So Terry's Marie.
Maybe.
Maybe. Okay. Okay. I'm just thinking, where the fuck did Terry and Robbie come from? Okay.
I just told you a police report came in.
Yeah.
In 1982 about Robbie and Terry.
Right. Okay. I mean, I understand that, but I'm just like, what the fuck? I don't understand what they have to do with that case.
We're just switching up a little.
Okay. Okay.
Marie will come back at some point.
As Terry and Robbie?
I don't know.
Okay.
So, like her sister, Terry is a secretary, also like Marie.
Okay.
And she ends up getting a job at the same place that Robbie had a job. Immediately, the old coworkers know that something is off. And they're very suspicious about Terry. They think that she's Robbie. They talked the same. They look the same.
I think that she's Marie.
Well, they don't know anything about Marie.
Okay.
So these two talk the same. They look the same. Obviously, they're twins. Their handwriting is the same. They have very, like, same mannerisms and witty responses. I think it just could be because they're twins.
Right.
But these people are like, nope, they're the same person. So they bring this to their boss. And he dismisses them and he's like, no, knock it off. Stop the rumors. Not the same person.
Okay.
Someone doesn't let this go and brings it to the police. The police, for some reason, take this identity situation seriously and look into it, which I find odd because they don't find missing persons seriously, but they find false identity seriously.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe not these police. Maybe they're different.
Okay.
So anyways, these police, they look into it and they find the obituary of Robbie Hannon, is completely falsified. It says that there was no funeral because her body was donated to a university in Texas, like for science.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no record of that.
Okay.
At this university. It says who Robbie and Terry's parents are. They try to find them. They're not real people at all. And they can't find any like records at all of Robbie or Terry before like 1980.
Okay.
There's no birth records, like nothing, no employment records, nothing about them at all until 1980.
Maybe because they're non-existent.
Right. So they go and talk to this woman, her name, Terry Martin. And, you know, she's like, yeah, I'm not Terry Martin.
I'm Marie.
I'm Marie Hilly.
Yes.
And I'm a wanted fugitive. So she tells them the whole story of everything that happened. And in January of 1983, she's arrested and brought back to Alabama for a trial for Frank's murder and Carol's attempted murder. She's found guilty and sentenced to life in prison plus 20 years.
Okay.
After 4 years of being in prison, Marie works hard and she befriends the warden. And she tells them that she was actually framed for everything.
Of course she was.
That she had nothing to do with this. Someone hated her and framed her for it.
Okay.
So the warden took pity on her and granted her a 3-day furlough to visit her husband, John.
Okay.
So John, from, you know, New Hampshire, has stayed with her, stuck by her side this whole time. He moved his whole life to Alabama to be close to her because he, I guess, believed her.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, so she gets a 3-day furlough. They get a motel room. They spend their 3 days together, you know, have a great time.
Okay.
When the 3 days is over, she's supposed to go return to prison, but instead she disappears.
Okay.
She leaves John a note that basically says that she can't go back to prison and she's run away and don't look for her. So a manhunt starts to find Marie, and a few days later, someone reports a woman lying on their front porch unresponsive. When the emergency services arrive, the woman laying on the front porch is Marie Hilly, and they take her to the hospital. In the ambulance on the way there, she has a heart attack and dies.
What?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
They believe that she was like hiding out in the woods, and you know, it was like, I don't know. I don't know when this was exactly. I guess I probably should have put that in here.
Yeah, probably.
But anyways, it was a winter of some kind because she had hypothermia and it resulted in a heart attack. She died.
Okay.
So she escapes prison twice.
Yeah.
And dies on her second time. Pretty crazy. Yeah,
that is pretty crazy. And also what a trash bag that she was poisoning her daughter.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, her and her daughter never got along, so I guess she just figured.
I mean, husband's one thing.
Yeah, but daughter? Like, come
daughter,
on.
Daughter, come on. No, no. Unacceptable.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
No.
At all of that.
Right, so I mean, both of which is, I mean, I believe the motive was money for both.
Yeah, was. I mean, sure, she had an insurance policy on both of them.
But like, how shitty to do your own kid.
Yeah. Agreed. Pretty crappy. Seems like she kind of got what was coming to her, though.
Yeah. Definitely.
So.
It stinks that she only got 4 years in prison, though.
Yeah.
But clearly her 4 years was not a good time because that's why she had to escape. She couldn't go back. So yeah, that's all, folks.
Yeah. I have heard that before, though. I don't remember her dying of a heart attack, so. Interesting.
Yeah, she did.
I knew it was a poisoning right out of the gate, though. You're going to have to do better than that.
I'm sorry.
Immediately, I knew.
Well, I mean, those are symptoms of poisoning, so.
Yes, they are. All right, well, thanks for that riveting case.
You're welcome.
Hope to see you all next week, and if you choose to, don't forget to go to Patreon. So I can get a Roadcaster Pro, too. To better our podcast.
Or send a referral for a GI doctor that's for free.
Or just join the Patreon for a Roadcaster Pro, too.
I think the GI doctor would be a better.
I agree, but it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Okay, whatever. Go to patreon.com/weeklydoseofwicked.
Sign up for a tier so we can get a Roadcaster. Thanks. Okay, bye.
Bye. Hey, everyone. If you like what you heard and you want to support a small podcast, please give us money at
www.patreon.com/weeklydoseofwicked, where you can join one of our four amazing tiers, starting at just a measly $3 a month. That's literally 10 cents a day. You can join the Slightly Wicked. After that, we've got the Moderately Wicked for just $5 a month, followed by the Awesomely Wicked for $7 a month. And for those high rollers, big ballers, we have the Extraordinarily Wicked. So head on over, check it out. If you like what you see, join it up.
If subscriptions aren't your jam, head on over to
www.buymeacoffee.com/WDOW, where you can give us a one-time donation to buy us a coffee or, you know, like podcasting equipment, which would probably be a better use of our money.
Feel free to give us a follow on
Instagram at weekly_dose_of_wicked, or you can just search Weekly Dose of Wicked and we'll pop up because we're the only ones.
Or you can give us a like on Facebook at facebook.com/weeklydoseofwicked.
Or, you know what, you could just do both, because that would be better for us.
For a direct feed of our podcast, please go to
www.weeklydoseofwicked.buzzsprout.com.
Great news, guys. We've made it big time, and you can now listen to us anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Yep. Even Pandora. They finally let us in.
Make sure to come back next Wednesday for your
Weekly Dose of Wicked. Ba-dum-psh.